Take your Bibles out. Turn with me to Luke chapter 6, continuing our series on changing and growing. Changing and growing. Not all change is good change. A biblical change is all good. We're looking at this morning Luke 6. We're just going to look at verses 43 through 45 for our time together, and we're going to try to focus on one particular aspect that's absolutely vital to the Christian life, absolutely vital. And we could talk about this, and hopefully we do it to some degree every Sunday, and that is that real change is heart change. Real change has to come from within. You have to change from the inside out. And we'll talk about why that is a little bit today. This passage that we're going to look at today in Luke 6 is sometimes called the Sermon on the Plain. You'll look at verse 17 there in Luke 6, and it says that he went up to a level place. And it's very similar to the Sermon on the Mount, but a little bit condensed. And so there are some little bit of differences there. And this particular passage has a little more in it as it regards to talking about heart issues than the Sermon on the Mount does. So very excellent. Let's go ahead and read it together there. Luke 6, 43 through 45. And we'll talk about it a little bit. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. Words of our Savior Jesus on the heart. Let's go ahead and pray together, and we'll talk about these heart issues. Lord God, our Father, we again do just rejoice in your truth. And God, certainly, as many of us here have tasted the sweetness of life your way, really understand the joy of change, God, as we'll even talk more about in a couple weeks. And just thank you for that, God. God, we understand also that change is sometimes painful, and it's necessarily painful. But God, that it yields the sweet fruit of righteousness. And so, God, we pray that you would just continue to do your refining work in our lives, God, and help us as many times our own desires conflict with yours, and we don't like it. But, Lord, when we get through it, we can look back and rejoice and just pray that you'd help us to be increasingly obedient as your people and increasingly, God, yielded to your will and as in your word, and God, yielded to your spirit working in us. And Lord, help us as this is probably one of the most difficult things to do is to even examine your motives and your desires today and just pray that you'd even give us all here, each individually, glimpses into some of those motives and desires today. And God, do the work that only you can do in transforming our lives, God. And that's our prayer, even as we look into this short passage today. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen. Heart change. Real change is heart change. You know, it's, and again, this will really kind of flesh this out a little bit more, but I want you to think about it. Our human tendency is very often to do the bare minimum. If we're honest with ourselves, we can see that. No, not always, but very often. And we have, especially if you've had any besetting sin in your life or anything in your life that's really stumbled in, really been difficult. And maybe it's even one of those acceptable sins. Jerry Bridges has a really good book out called Acceptable Sins. And, you know, it's kind of the sad truth of the church. There's some things we think, well, those are okay, but those are the bad ones, right? But if you've had one of those besetting sins in your life, you may have noticed a pattern in your life of a sweet time and a rock bottom time. And then some, okay, it's a little better, and then a rock bottom time. You may have noticed that. Why would that be? Well, there's a lot of reasons. Some things are very difficult to overcome. But part of the reason many times, not always, but many times, is that the change that gets affected into our life is behavioral change. It's not heart change. And it's your willpower against the besetting sin in your life. Or it's you trying to do a better job, or you trying to do what you can or whatever, and you've really never dug in, at least to the level that you need to change your desires. And think about it like this with me, and maybe we'll see this again a little later. But if you have a burning desire of your life, and maybe you don't even know, because sometimes those are hard to diagnose, and it's a burning desire of your life, and it comes out in a sinful behavior, and you make the decision to stop the behavior, but you never change the desire. Think about that. That desire is going to pop its head back up in your life, isn't it? It's going to. Count on it. Because you haven't dealt with the core issue that's the real issue, quite honestly. Real change is heart change. And so we need to understand our hearts. If you look at verses 43 and 44 with me once again here, Jesus tells us that a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree is known by its fruit, for men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. Bad fruit in your life, and just to try to be very clear, what we're talking about here is on fruit is the behavior, the stuff that comes out, okay? The things that happen in your life, the things that you do. Those bad behaviors, those bad fruits come from a bad tree or a bad root, as Jesus said. Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. And so you can see the way that they live and act and think, and it comes out. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. The heart, the motives and desires, the internal things of your life, of your heart, come out in the behaviors of your life. James tells us it's very relational. James 4:1, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that were in your members? Okay. So we have, why do I have conflicts in my life? Why do I have problems in my life? Because of your desires. And so it's an internal thing. So we have to understand the workings of our heart to be able to grow, to be able to give victory over these different problems and things in our life. Disobedience comes out of a disobedient heart. And Jesus calls those in our passage today thorns. Thorns in your life. I think it's a good way to think about it. There's good, sweet, usable fruit, and then there's thorns in your life. There's things that are not pleasing to God. Now, the other side of the coin is also true, isn't it? Because he says there at the very end, in 45, at the very beginning of 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And so pleasing God, obedience, joys, all of those kind of things are an indication of a heart that is right with God, a heart that is seeking God, and that's where those flow out of as well. And so it's not just a purely put off message, but just like we read this morning, it's put off and put on. It's the indicator is also a good thing. So when you see those good fruits, you know that it's because your heart is attuned towards God and seeking Him, a heart that loves God. Verse 45, the second part of that, an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil, for out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of his heart, that the word there that's abundance could be superabundance, and it could be overflow. Maybe your translation might even use that word overflow. Many of them do. And it's like, We had an abundance in the men's restroom this morning. I don't know if you know that. And thankfully, what was contained in that vessel was only water. But so we had a little problem with the valve, and there was an abundance, and it abundanced onto the floor. Well, that's what he's talking about here. It overflowed, didn't it? There was too much, and that was just what was in there. It just came out, and it spilled out onto the floor. And so it's the same way with our hearts. Our actions are really a window. They show us what's going on inside of us. They show us, they help us to diagnose and to see the things that we think and we really desire deep down inside. And that's what comes out in life. Matthew 12:33-35, Jesus said, "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit." Now we're going to go on and read that, but just think about how incredibly significant that is to life. Jesus is telling us flat out right there, don't just try to shine up the outside of your life, isn't he? He's saying, make the tree good. Get at the real issue, the internal parts of your life. And 34, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance, again, that same word, out of the overflow of your heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart. Again, you see, it's not all a negative thing. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. I like to think of it like this, as far as that. As you think about your life now, and we try to be sort of practical because we really want to get some good applications for today. I've heard very often, well, my husband just makes me angry. Well, so-and-so made me do this, or they made me do that. I had a friend, and he's a counselor. He's not a biblical counselor. He's just a secular psychologist. I'm not even sure he's a brother. He claims to be, but it's between him and the Lord. But he had a guy that he was dealing with on drunkenness, and his wife was in tears, and the guy said, "She just makes me so angry, and she makes me drink." And he said something I thought was really good. He said, "It's funny that she doesn't make you kind." Really, think about that. And it's like the heat of life. Now, was the guy's life difficult? Maybe. Probably, right? Because life can be very difficult. Hey, let's face it. We're going to have things that are going to happen to us in this coming year that are going to be hard. It's going to be difficult for us to face some of those. Every single one of us very likely is going to face something that's going to push our buttons, that's going to press us, and that's going to be difficult to handle. But it doesn't force us to do any particular thing. It just brings out the things that are inside of us. And I like to think of it kind of like a tea bag. If I take a coffee cup and I put it on there and I look inside, there's nothing in there. And then if I put a tea bag in there and I pour hot water on it, what's going to come out of the bag? Just what was in there, right? Tea. Good tea, bad tea. Whatever, old tea, whatever you got, that's going to come out, right? And if I say, "But today I'd really like apple cider." Well, too bad, you've got a tea bag, right? You're going to have to change your bag if you want apple cider. You can't just say what you want. Well, the heat of life comes in on us. And if we want apple cider, you're going to have to change the bag, aren't you? You're going to have to work with the thing. You're not going to, the heat of life, that's difficult. We get that. And that helps us understand why we do what we do, but it's not the problem. The problem is inside. The problem is the things that are flowing out of that tea bag, right? Those are the things that we need to change. Those are the things that we need to let God do His work inside of our lives. And for us, our job is to examine those things and to get on board with what God is doing and to trust Him, things like that. So a few circumstances I wrote down that are sometimes difficult. And there are many, many more, of course. We know that. You can think of your own. But these are the overflow of the heart kind of things. Maybe you have an uncaring or a mean spouse or a person that's just difficult to live with flat out. Well, that's difficult, but that doesn't mean that that's not the real problem. Maybe you have a rebellious or disobedient child, and that can be very difficult. Maybe you have an overly harsh boss or an overly demanding boss, and that can make life very difficult. Maybe you have money problems. Man, money problems can throw some stress on you, can't they? Today, even if you don't have money problems, you could get all upset about money, couldn't you? With all the stuff you hear all the time. People are just relentless. Everything's going to fall into a pile. Well, who's God, first of all? Let's get the truth out there. But that's difficult, isn't it? It can be frightening. It can be difficult. Those are hard things that come into our life sometimes. Health problems. Wow. Man, there's no way you can control that, is there? Man, that can be so difficult to have some overriding health problem that's pressing in on you and you don't know where you're going to turn, what you're going to do. The heat, that's the heat of life. That's all that is. And those circumstances are not the problem. Those circumstances are going to face every one of us. Different circumstances are going to face different ones of us. And those heats are going to pressure you at some point, and then something's going to come out. Something's going to come out. And that's the thing that we can work on. How we respond to those different heats is the real issue. So for our part, examine your heart. So this morning, let's think both negatively and positively, and then let's talk a little bit of practical stuff here. What kind of things do you normally see overflowing out of your heart into the behaviors of your life? How does it come out? What comes out of you when the pressure's on? At least in my experience, I think it's true. Well, not always. But it seems much easier to be kind when there's no pressure. Doesn't it? It seems much easier to have a sweet and fit word when life is easy. How do you respond when it's really hard? It's really difficult. When it's hard to do the right thing, what comes out? What comes overflowing out of your heart? Is it mean words? Unkind words? Is it anxiety and fear and depression? Is that the normal? I mean, you know, all of us will have times, but I mean, is that the normal tenor of your attitude and actions when those things happen? Or is it goodness, patience, kindness, resting in a sovereign and good God? Is it love, joy, and peace, the fruits of the Spirit? Right? Isn't that interesting? The fruit of the Spirit. It's just the natural thing that grows on a tree. That is the Spirit of God is at work in. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. So we do these examinations into our life. Do you have discontent or do you have joy? Do you have fears and worries or do you have hope and rest and peace? And again, you know, we all have times, and it's not like there's this one group that they're all perfect and there's another group that they're all bad, even though this part that we're looking at is pretty black and white. But we all have those times. But what's the general tenor? You know, do you consistently find yourself failing in one particular area? That'll help you understand your heart. It'll help you understand the things that are going on deep down inside of you. Now, here's a list of self-application questions, self-examination questions. Now, I almost put these on the notes today, but there's 27 or 8 of them. 28. You have to get them from Encore. What do you think about that? Huh? You see what I'm doing? You can't just have the notes. You have to get them from Encore or write fast. All right. They'll be on your Encore sheet. Ask yourself questions like these. This helps us, and I'll try to talk a little about this, but just for our purposes and our time this morning, I can't really elaborate on them, so you'll just have to kind of work with me on that. But these are questions that you're meant to ask yourself to help you see the motivations of your heart. I would be happy if only I had. And make that list. Make it a list. Hey, these are the things in my life that would make me happy. Boom, 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 boom. What did I want or want to happen in a given circumstance or situation when I saw something? So in other words, maybe I had a health problem. It was difficult. What did I want to happen? Oh, I wanted to be healthy. You know, what's wrong with that particular want? Well, nothing, but how did it work itself out in the way you responded? Okay, you see where I'm going with that? What are my goals or expectations, either in life or in a given circumstance or situation? Where do I put my basic trust? Now, again, examine that. You have to be very careful on any of these, really, because it's easy just to say, well, you know, most of us would just say, oh, I'm trusting God. You know, I trust God. Well, wait a minute here. How did that trust of God then work out in your situation? How did it come out? that you really trusted God, that you rested in Him. So be careful on some of these. What do I worry about and why do I worry about that? What terrifies you? What do you fear the most? When do you become the most irritated and why does that particular thing irritate you? Why do you become depressed? Or when do you become depressed and why? What brings you the most joy in life? What gives you the most hope in life? What is your image of yourself? Who do you want to be and why do you want to be that? In other words, a sentence would be something like, boy, you know, I just wish I could be this. This is what I really wish that I could be or I was. That's what I would like. If you were on your deathbed, what would sum up your life as being worthwhile or good? What do you see as your rights in any given situation or even in life? This my right, I must have. This is my right. What do you see as your rights? Where do you turn when you get under pressure? Wow, that's a good one. Right? Where do you turn? It takes work sometimes to figure that out, but where do you go? You turn consistently to the Lord? Do you rest and trust in His sovereignty and goodness? Or do you turn to a substance? Do you turn to another person? Do you turn to entertainment? Whatever. Where do you turn during those times of pressure? What do you get or hope to get from doing any given thing? You know, okay, here's the problem that came out. What did you hope to get out of that? What would have been a good, you know, in your mind, a good outcome for that particular deal? What is important to you? How would you define success in any situation? What is the subject of your normal conversations? You know, what's the kind of stuff that you normally talk about a lot? And the thing that's always on your tongue or often on your tongue. What do you think about most often? What do you spend how do you spend your time, you know, the most of your time? What takes a priority in your life? What do you daydream or fantasize about? What are the thoughts and the things that roll around in your head throughout the day? Where do you put your basic trust again? What do you trust? What do you trust in? What gives you fulfillment? What drives you? What rules you? Well, those are kind of narrowing down, aren't they? Those are a little harder to get to sometimes, but good questions to ask yourself. What really rules you in any given situation? What do you believe about God? That's an excellent question to ask, but you have to have the follow-up question then. How then does that work itself out in life? Well, I believe all of this stuff about God. Okay, great, but you have to do that. But how does that come out then? How does that work itself out in your life? How does that make a difference in your life? And any kind of question like that, what we're trying to get to is the bottom of is why. Why do I do these things? Why is this the overflow of my heart? Why is this the thing that's coming out in these different kinds of behaviors in my life? Why do I do what I do? James 4, right? Why do I do what I do? Because I have a desire. I want what I want. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires? I do what I do because I want what I want. And what you do is never going to change until what you want changes. So what you want changes. Sometimes we have these desires and they're okay. You know, good health. What one of us would say, you know what, today I just really don't want good health. You know, I just wish that God would quit giving me all this good health. Well, there's nothing wrong with that, right? That's a good desire. I want a husband that loves me. Hey, God tells husbands to love their wives, right? There's nothing wrong with that. But when that desire gets elevated over pleasing God and it becomes greater than God in your life, then you've got a problem. And that we know when that's a problem, when it comes out in the way that we respond, that is not good fruit. It is not a heart that is yielded to loving and following and trusting in the goodness and sovereignty of God. So we do what we do because we want what we want. So we have to change the heart level. We have to let God change us from within, and we get on His program by doing what He tells us to do. As James said again, where do wars and fights come from among you? Verse 1 says they come from the desires that war in your members, so we're in a battle. You lust in verse 2, so again, it's, you know, it goes back to our desires and it's sinful desires in verse 3. Matthew 12, that passage that we read a little bit earlier, kind of has a similar deal. That's what, you know, it's interesting, the book of James, I think a lot of it flows out of those two messages there. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks, or out of the overflow of the heart. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things, and an evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things. And think about it. Go ahead and bring the diagram up, Tracy. Think about it like this with me. When he says treasure, I want you to think about it like this. The things that are stored up there, okay, they're treasured there. The things that are treasured up into your heart, the things that are stored up into your heart, those are the things that come out, okay? And so those are your desires. Those are the things that you want. I call this illustration the three trees. There's three trees involved in your life. You either have the thorn tree or you have the good fruit tree. The heat of life, pictured by the sun there, will come into every one of us. And we're going to respond in one of two ways. We're going to respond God's way, saying yes and yielding to God and doing what he tells us to do, or we're not. Heat comes in and bad fruit comes out. Why? It's because there's something you want or you believe that is not what God wants for you right now. There's something that you believe in your life will bring you contentment and fulfillment, will make you happy, will bring you peace. But right now in your life, you can know for certain that is not what God wants for you because you haven't gotten it. How are you going to respond to that? Well, especially when the bad fruit is already there, the thorns of life, and your behavior comes out bad, the answer then is repentance and trusting God and faith and going to the other tree, right? Critically important, isn't it? Isn't it? I'm becoming more and more convinced in my mind one of the reasons that we have struggles in life is because we haven't really believed the truth of the gospel. Think about how significant that is. Just read the accounts of the cross every day for a couple of months. First of all, you're going to be convicted of the horror of sin. But do not miss the grace of God that is seen in the cross. Why would God go to such lengths? Just so he could smash us a little better? That would be stupid, wouldn't it? He is a gracious God. He wants us constantly running to the cross. He wants us constantly yielding to his will and crying out for more grace. God, here I am. You knew this and you knew who I was when you accepted me. And I need more grace. God, please forgive me for the things that I do and the things and desires of my heart and transform me from the inside out. And we want to hide our sin and we want to run and we don't want to examine our hearts because we've forgotten the incredible graciousness of our God. Is he going to forgive you? Is there like one thing in your life that you've done that's so bad that he's not going to forgive you? Think about the cross. Of course he's going to forgive you. And so you run to the other tree in repentance and faith. And the Bible promises that out of those people that love me, streams of living water will flow. And God transforms your heart. When you do the simple thing of saying yes to God, he transforms your heart. And good fruit begins to show up. And you're encouraged. And you yield to him more and more good fruit. James tells us that. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who have peace. Right? You're sowing out righteousness, more and more righteousness, more and more peace, more and more good fruit. It's all sovereign work of God, and he works with us saying yes to him in repentance and faith. Good fruit, heat of life, still there, isn't it? Right? But you know what? It's a little bit easier to respond to those problems and pressures of life when you are resting in and trusting in the goodness and sovereignty of our almighty Creator. God is too good to be unkind and too wise to make a mistake. And you can trust him. He is working in your life in ways that maybe you don't even realize to change you and to help you be more like Christ. He is actively involved. The Almighty God who made all of this that we see infinite. We can't even figure out how big or how minute or how small down it gets to even know the depths of just creation. God is so much greater, and yet He is active in your life. Man, talk about the grace of God. He cares about you. He's changing you, and He's working in you. And so our job is simple, just to say yes to Him, to turn to Him, to trust in Him, to love Him, to do what He says. And so for today anyway, get your desires in line with God's desires. Just for one simple application for us today, when you see the overflow, the things that are flowing up out of the treasure, the things that you've treasured up in your heart and they're not good, hey, don't think of yourself as a worm or whatever. None of that. That's not productive. Just say, all right, I get it. Not pleasing to God, repentance, trust. I'm going to run to the cross. And I'm going to, in faith, I'm going to take God at His word and I'm going to tell Him yes. And I'm going to let Him, ask Him to change me. Get your desires in line with God's desires. When those things come up, start to ask yourself why you want what you want and how come God wouldn't have had that, let you have that at this time. God will provide all of your needs. He has said that. He will. He will provide every one of your needs. Not all your desires. Every one of your needs. Every single one. He's all wise. He knows what you need. Matthew 6:33 talks about this principle. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. A friend of mine was just sharing that with me yesterday. And just wonderful truth to remember for life. Seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Remember God's purpose in your life. Romans 8:28 and 29. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He predestined what? To change, right? To be made into the image of His Son. God has a good purpose in your life, and sometimes these heats of life and these pressures of life compressing in on us, squeezing us a little bit so that we can see the overflow, so that God has a better place in our life and can help us to get on board with His program. He wants us to be like Christ. Start to make pleasing God your number one goal. Make sure that getting your way and your will being done, having your argument heard and all of those things, start to take less of a part in your life. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Well, it's because I want what I want. Why do we get so upset in life when there's other people in our life about things that make very little difference in eternity? Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever gotten in an argument with someone and maybe it's escalated and pretty soon you don't even remember what you're fighting about? You ever done that? I wish I had a book. I've done that so many times, I'm ashamed. Think about it. Why do we major on the minors in life and make things so important and beat each other up over them when they make no difference in eternity? It's not pleasing to God. It's because I want what I want, and I just want my argument to be heard, and I am right, and you would just listen to me, then my life would be fine. Right? You know? Maybe we don't say it if we're kind enough, but you know, just shut up and listen to me. Then we can get on with life. Right? Well, wait a minute here. You want something, and it's not what God wants. Because God wants you to live His way with the other people in your life. And all you're experiencing is the heat. How you respond is the issue. How you respond? How are you going to do? Are you going to say, like Jesus, not my will, but yours be done? Are you going to have the attitude like Jesus in Philippians 2? And by the way, back up from the part we're going to read, it says, let this mind be in you, right? But it says, Jesus, who being in the form of God, didn't consider it something that He had to tenaciously grasp onto to be equal with God. He was willing to set all of those things aside to come. He thought of other people better than Himself. He thought of our needs more than He thought of His own. And He came and He went to the cross for you. And let this mind be in you, When your desires are not God's desires, let God win. Right? Amen. All right. Good answer. Come on. Let's get excited here. All right. Thank you. Man, throw a guy a bone here. Real change is heart change, isn't it? If we focus on the outside, there might be some times of change, but there will be also times of failure because your desire is still there and it's going to try to rule you whenever it can. But the more you yield to God, the more your life will start to experience slow, incremental steps of growth where you're more and more pleasing to Him. And then the good fruit begins to grow and you begin to harvest it and life becomes sweet and you begin to trust, it's easier to trust God because you've seen Him work. And you've tasted a little bit of the sweetness of life God's way. And God builds on that. And God is greatly glorified when we seek to do His will and we're constantly saying yes to Him. Let's pray together. Lord God, our Father, again, just thank You for this passage of Scripture that helps us understand how critically important getting to the bottom of our hearts is in life. It's critically important, and we know that You know that, and You've designed us and built us, and You understand us infinitely better than we ever will. And God, understanding that really is a stunner on Your graciousness. And God, just pray that You continue to work in every one of our lives. Continue to help us, God, as we interact together. We know that You put us here together for a reason. Help us, God, with openness together, with really loving each other. And God, just being willing to be confronted by Your word, just to hear from Your truth and to say yes because it's from You. And Lord God, I just pray that our body here would just be a shining example of Christ-likeness in our community as every one of us individually and then together seek to glorify You by letting You be Lord in our lives, to change, make us more like Christ, and God, to just give us a heart that is overflowing with joy because of that. In Jesus' name, amen.